Now that you know my allegiances, you also know why I'm going to talk about what I'm going to talk about. What I want to talk about today is what happens when leadership fails, when great leadership, who you have tremendous respect for, does something that's questionable. Okay? I don't want to talk about specifically about the case that I'm referring to. I'll just allude to it implicitly. And we're going to learn about it from a parsha that we spoke from the end of Parshat Balak. Turn to chapter 25, Perek Kaf Hei. In the most of Parshat Balak is the story of Balak and Bilam, and the attempt to curse the Jewish people, and the failed attempt, and the brachot that Bilam ends up issuing to us. You know, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov. It's always great when your enemies bless you by accident. Okay, that's wonderful. But the end of the parsha is a very, very disturbing episode. Like, it has a very, very few psukim. Very, very disturbing episode that raises many, many questions. We'll ask some and maybe answer some too. Okay, we're Parakaf Hei. Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim. So they're in Shittim. Where is Shittim? Where are we? Where are, like, just geographically? Anybody know where we end up? The end of the Jewish people aren't going to move from the end of last week's parsha. The end of last week's parsha ends that the end of Vayeshev Yisrael Vayachanu Be'arvot Moav Me'eber LeYordan Yericho. They're in the plains of Moab across from Yericho. This is where they are until they're basically they're ready to go in. So there isn't much time between now and the end of the Torah. We're at the end of the 40 years, they're ready to go in. All that has to happen is, you know, what?
Greenland.
No, they got it. What do you mean?
Oh, sorry.
All that has to happen is?
Greenland.
Moshe has to die. Right, Moshe has to tell them Sefer Dvarim, how long that takes, whatever that is. Right, and he's going to die and then they're going to go. We know this. He knows this. Come on. They don't really know. Okay. So they're in Shittim, this place. And why is it called Shittim? Rashi says that was the name. Vayachel ha'am liznot el benot Moav. And the nation began liznot to prostitute themselves.
Commit harlotry.
Prostitute themselves. El towards the benot Moav. Okay. The whole nation? Hard to know. Right? It's just, they began frequenting, what?
They referred
to men. Harlotting themselves. Right. Engage in znut, please not el benot Moab. It's so interesting. What's very interesting also is, like, you have this vision of the camping, this is a totally separate entity. That the Jewish people are separate, that they're in this, you know, enclosed area. How did they get to the Benot Moab then? You know what I'm saying? What happened?
There weren't fences around.
I'm saying, how far were they from Moab? Yeah. How far were they from civilization, from somebody else? You have this impression they were in the Midbar. And now it turns out, how far could they have been possibly?
Right, like an hour's ride on the horse.
Now, I don't think so.
Not even?
Sounds like they were, you know, a good 10-minute walk. You know what I'm saying? Not more than that.
Also, it's not only the arm, I assume it's the men.
Right. Well, it's not the women. Right.
No, but I'm saying, with the arm, I think, I always thought included the men and the women, because when you have, what's it called, the chita ego, it separates the men and the women. Like, it's not, there are places where it separates, you know, differentiates between the men and the women, and here it doesn't.
Okay. But I don't think it's, I mean, it's clearly the men here.
I know, but it says ha'am.
Okay. Pasuk bet. Vatikrena ha'la'am lizivchei Eloheihen, and these women, the not Moab, called the men, the nation, lizivchei Eloheihen, to their idolatry, vayochal ha'am, vayishtachavu le'Eloheihen, and then they ate, and they bowed down to their gods. So this is how it works. Like, you know, the question was, what was the agenda? How did this whole thing work? Right. So there's a very extensive story in Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that this is all the brainchild of our good friend Bilam ben Beor, who said you're trying to beat them all wrong. You're trying to beat them at their own game. What we have to do, the Jewish people, is get them out of their game and make them act like us. Because when they act like us, then their God abandons them. You can't beat them by being godly. You have to beat them by being godless. So he says, I'll tell you what you do. And then it's a fascinating story. He says, if you just, like, you know, take the ladies of the night and have them walk out there, the Jewish people, they're never going to have anything to do with that. Like, that's totally trafe. So what you do is you open, like, these little stores. I want you to open a market. Okay? And then you have you have old ladies, put the old ladies, you know, little saftas on the outside, and then offer them, like, incredible deals. So when the men go, like, oh, what do men do? They like to go shopping. They go to the mall. They want to buy their wife a nice, you know, a nice silk or whatever. Trinket. What?
I don't know. It's men.
Yeah. Anybody have this back?
Shining
face. Do you like shopping?
Like is not a good word. For electronics, I do.
After 12 years, my husband finally bought home a trinket for my daughter. 12 years.
I'm better than that. I'm better than that. Let me leave it at that. Okay.
He's been traveling back and forth, like overseas.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Midrash says, and the old ladies were on the outside, and they had these beautiful, gorgeous women on the inside. Okay, so, and then, because the men would never have gone in, they were very appropriate men. They wouldn't have gone in if they had seen, they would have stayed away, if they had seen these young, you know, these young, alluring young women. And so when the men would go inside, the women would offer them an incredible deal. Right? And then, you know, while you're waiting, would you like something to drink? And while you're, you know what I'm saying? And if the idea is to entice, already in an enclosed area, enticing, something to drink, sexuality, sure, no problem, but I need you to bow down to my God, and then we're all good. And that's, the Gemara tells this idea of, what?
That's the Yetzirah.
Yeah, right. It tells this idea of
slippery.
Right, the Gemara actually says something, like, the Gemara in another place says, that anytime somebody bows down and worships idolatry, it's all because of Arayot. Arayot is an incredibly powerful force. That if somebody says, I don't believe, or whatever, like it's very often Arayot are involved. Okay.
And that's counted that they mean it?
Mean it? What do you mean? To bow down to worship idolatry?
Yeah. When it's done because of sex.
Idolatry, it's a question that, See, idolatry is not just a question of belief or not belief. First of all, whether they believe it or not, the act of idolatry, the act of worship, was more the act of the worship of nature, of aspects of nature, of physical acts, and it involved just hedonistic acts. It involves, like, you know, very inappropriate sexual acts, very base physical acts. Much of the idolatry, the, you know, how was Baal Peor worshipped? Anybody know how they worship Baal Peor?
Yeah.
You're eating here. Anybody guess how they worship Baal Peor? It involved defecation. It involved, like, very base physical acts. Like, you know, the idea of...
She's the only one who knew how it was.
In Tiferet Yechezkel, does talk about that. That's one of the ways of Avodah Zarah that the Jews were doing before Korban by Rishon.
Correct. The idolatry, we don't relate to it. It's very difficult for us to have any association to it. It just seems... weird. It seems unusual because it's not part of our worldview. But a lot of it was this association, this subjugation to the forces of nature. The idea that there's something greater than you. And you connect to this through these base acts, through becoming natural yourself. And much of Judaism was the exact opposite of that, the elevation and the removal from the idea of the power of nature. We are above the power of nature. We believe in a higher calling than that. We believe in using our intellect. We don't lower ourselves. That's why so much of the idolatry also was through the idea of this, through the idea of the sexual. They denied this power of Kedusha through the physicality. They thought that physicality wasn't self-worship. So you ask, did they believe? It's irrelevant in this sense, because the worship itself is the debasement of what it means to be a Jew. Okay? Anyway. Vayitzamed Yisrael Lebaal Peor. The Jewish people, Tzamud. Vayitzamed. Worshipped. Connected to Baal Peor, Vayicharaf Hashem b'Yisrael. God became angry at Israel. Vayomer Hashem. Now we get to the point that I want to focus on. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Kach et kol roshei ha'am, v'hoka otam l'Hashem neged hashamesh, v'yashov charon af Hashem b'Yisrael. Okay, if you have art scroll, don't read the English. Okay, if you have art scroll, and I'll explain to you why in a second. God said to Moshe, let's try to translate it together. God said to Moshe, take the heads of the nation, v'hoka otam l'Hashem neged hashamesh. Hoka otam, what does that mean? Anybody know? Hoka otam, string them up. Right? Hang them to God, neged hashamesh, curse, opposite the sun. V'yashov charon af Hashem b'Yisrael. And the wrath of God will be appeased. Would be a few. Now, Karen, read yours in English. What does it say?
Take all the chiefs of the people and hang them up unto the Lord in the face of the sun.
Very good.
Turn away the fierce.
Okay, that's shot. That's why. Why? Why did I ask you? What translation are you reading? You're reading the, what is that?
Not Art Scroll.
Not Art Scroll.
Art Scroll's not good.
Our scroll is not different?
No. Hang them before Hashem.
Wait, again, wait a second. Read it again. Read it from the beginning.
Take all the leaders of the people, hang them before Hashem against the sun.
That's what he says?
Yeah.
Fascinating. So that's very fascinating. I thought it would go by according to Rashi. It's a big problem.
And this says the same, and then it says, and the flaring wrath of Hashem will withdraw.
Okay. What's fascinating is that we have a problem. Let's look at the next pasuk for a second. There's a few problems. Vayomer Moshe el Shoftei Yisrael, Hirgu ish anashav anisvadim lebaal po'ar. Moshe says to the Shoftim of Israel, Hirgu ish anashav, kill your men, anisvadim lebaal po'ar, worshiping baal po'ar. Okay? I have a big, big problem. I'll tell you my bigger problem. Anybody else have a big, big problem with what we just saw?
He's saying something completely different to what God
said. Yeah, what happened?
Yeah. Completely. Right.
God says to Moshe, do.
Take the leaders and string them up.
String them up. And Moshe says,
okay, get rid of all the people who committed the sin.
Right.
We had this last week.
What?
It's the same thing we had last week.
Yeah.
It is?
In a different sense.
Yeah.
Wait,
Hashem does one thing and Moshe
does one. Well, in the end, we tried to figure out. We thought maybe Moshe was doing.
Maybe we're going to do
that. What?
Maybe we're going to do that.
Are we? We might. We might. Very good. Well, yes and no. We'll see. It's good that there's some continuity from week to week. Yeah, that's good.
You planned it that way.
Yes, it's good that we did. Anyway, okay.
And is the Rosh Hashanah different from the Shoftim?
Unless?
The Rosh Hashanah are different from the Shoftim.
How do you mean? The Roshim? So then Moshe is fulfilling the words?
No.
Even if it is.
What did God say, Moshe? Correct. That's problem number two. The second problem
is they responsible for their people.
That responsible? That the question number two.
Question number.
Question. Wait. Let me finish. Question number one is why did Moshe Rabbeinu not fulfill God's commandment? Question number two, or like 1A before one, is how could Hashem say to Moshe, string up the leaders of the people if they're not the ones worshiping the idols? Isn't Moshe right? As opposed to what Hashem said, isn't Moshe's point correct? Kill the people who are doing it. Like, what is this string up the leaders?
Well, the leaders are lacking in something.
Yeah.
Well, giving over something if people
were
involved.
How do you? But does that God say that? Does God say?
But how do you know that the leaders weren't involved?
But God doesn't say all of them were involved, every single one.
He doesn't necessarily need to.
Kach et kol roshei ha'am. The Hoka Otam Lashem Negev Hashemesh. So Rashi, cleverly, this is why I thought that Arsko would not translate the way that everyone else does. Look at Rashi does. Rashi cleverly solves both these problems. Says Rashi, Kach et kol Rashi Ha'am. Take all of the heads of the nations. Says Rashi. See Rashi on Pasuk Dalet. Lishpot et ha'ovdim lepo'or. Take the heads of the nations as judges. Vehoka otam et ha'ovdim. Vehoka hitlia. Hoka is hanging. Okay? So what does Rashi do? How does Rashi solve both our problems? Yes. Problem one, how could Hashem say to hang the leaders? And two, why did Moshe fulfill?
Otam is not referring to the heads of the
nations. So he says, that's why I'm surprised. Usually arts grow, when they translate according to the interpretation of Rashi. Is there like a foot? No, nobody says anything. I'm surprised. Very surprising. Because if you were Rashi, if you were Artko, you would translate according to Rashi by saying, say to Moshe, okay, Kach et kol Rashi Ha'am, take the heads of the nations as judges, and together, Hoka Otam, hang the sinners, Lashem, to God, Negen Hashamish. It's a good solution, isn't it? Everybody happy with that solution?
Well,
why not?
Extra
right, okay, I'm waiting. I thought Laura would jump in. Why are you not? She was getting a problem. why, it's very nice. Rashi has solved our ideological problem. Rashi has solved our philosophical problems. But he hasn't solved our textual problem.
Right.
The textual problem is that's not what it says.
Right.
No, it's grammatical. If you put a comma, then
but it doesn't have a comma.
Yeah, but the Torah doesn't have a comma.
Well, the problem, the main part of the pshat is, Kach et kol Rashi Ha'am is one thing.
But the V means like what connects with and the beginning, what connects with the end part.
Vehoka Otam. Who is Otam? Vehoka Otam. Who is Otam according to Rashi? So what it does in the middle of a one pasuk is, what Rashi's doing is saying, the subject of the first half of the verse, of the first phrase, is totally different than the subject of the second phrase. Right? That's
cute.
cute butt. No representative. Like that's how the Negro
stops.
Right. No. Right. What would you grade your students if they did that? If they wrote that in a.
I would say, really, this doesn't make sense.
It doesn't correlate. Okay, so that's the problem. But you understand now the pshat and the drash. Because if we take pshat according to its simple understanding, then you have to either, like you were trying to do, say the leaders are somehow culpable and responsible. They are to be made examples of. They are to be judged and summarily executed, even though they themselves aren't committing the crime, in order to appease the wrath of God.
No, they not. He doesn't.
Even strengthening it, you know that they are.
Shouldn't it say that they are? I know that some of them.
The rest of the story, you know that there is a leader who is.
And okay, there is a leader. Culpable in some way.
That, like that? You think anybody would want to be a leader if every time the people sin, then they strung them up and you know?
Well, because they think that under their leadership, the people won't sin.
Don't get me wrong. If you were describing a regime that when the people made mistakes, the regime hung its leadership before the entire nation.
Well, it might be nice if people resigned, wouldn't they?
Resigned is one thing. But if you were describing that regime, it wouldn't be the regime.
The modern equivalent that you get rid of what's wrong at the top.
I understand. Get rid of them. You're not leaders. That's a failure of leadership.
Right, but this is talking about a different time.
Again. Okay.
Two of the three
things. Not all. Two of the, well, Zara and Kilaria. Okay. Says the Midrash. I'm reading you two Midrashim here. Okay? One Midrash is Rashi is based
when
upon.
What? When do we do Pshat?
Oh, I mean, what's the answer according to Pshat?
Yeah.
We just did Pshat.
No. That was not Pshat.
Well, no, the Pshat is God said. The Pshat is God said string them up and Moshe. Didn't.
How do you know he didn't? Addresses that according to that understanding.
Couldn't find anyone.
How do you know that it
didn't? Go start looking around. You got a finish. Go start looking.
How do you know he didn't string them up and then afterwards killed the rest of the people who were involved?
How do I know he didn't string them up?
Yeah. How do you know he didn't?
That's what I was.
Wouldn't have said.
Wouldn't have said.
Yeah. It would say by asking.
No, I'm saying. But I feel like Rashi is taking those kind of liberties. Who could say? You know, they hung them, Vayask, who's told, Vayask Cain. And then what's, I feel like the Negra Shemesh is, what's the point of the Negra Shemesh?
Oh, look at the Negra Shemesh.
That's like everybody should see, right? It's sort of like a public thing.
You're making an example of them. Did Moshe do this?
Which is why I think the second part is like what Yael's saying, is that you're saying it was an example, it didn't help, and that's why Moshe had to go to the next stage. And
you're saying that there's a Vayask Cain here, Moshe did this, he killed all the leadership, no mention of it in the Chumash whatsoever, no effect, and therefore Moshe said, oh, we gotta do more.
Well, can't we assume that if Hashem
Don't get me wrong, but is that shot?
Can we not assume that if Hashem told him to do something that it was done?
Doesn't it always say, or often, almost always say, Vayas Moshe, Kasher Tziva Hashem, B'nei Yisrael, Cain Asu? Doesn't it say, pretty much always?
Do
you know, God says, they put the guy in the prison, because the guy collected the sticks, and they knew what to do, and then God said, you should execute the person. Okay, what's that? That's at the end of Korach. So what happened? Like, just as an example. And then at the end of the parsha, it says, one second. No, that's not parsha Korach. Maybe Shlach. The guy who gathered all the sticks. Where's the Mekoshesh? You know? I thought it was Korach. Baloka? Well, really sad. Here we are. No. Yeah, it's somewhere. Can't find it. Somebody find me the Mekoshesh. Where they found the guy and they put him in the Mishmar. But yeah, here it is again in a second. Hashevet Moshe, Vayas Moshe, Kasher Tziva Hashem Oto Kein Asa. You know, like every time that Moshe does something like that, it says, God said to Moshe, do this. Moshe did it. And then you find the result. Did it work? Didn't it work? Here, there's no mention of that. I would say Rashi's shot is more shot than that. Did he do it or didn't he do it? Okay. I'm going to read you two Midrashim.
The Pashtanim say that the Otam is the Chotzim, and they say that therefore when Moshe, and Ibn Ezra goes so far as to say that therefore when Moshe said, when it says, V'emar Moshe Shoftei Yisrael, that's the proof that Otam is the Chotzim.
Meaning a Rashi
Shah. Meaning not even being able to entertain the concept that Moshe did something that was not what Hashem told him.
Correct. They wouldn't accept that. Correct. I mean, meaning that
even Ibn Ezra. Yeah. And he's not.
You sound disappointed.
So I'm surprised. I'm not disappointed.
Okay.
Surprised. And I think Neged HaShemesh also...
We'll get to Neged HaShemesh, according to Midrash. Chachar HaShem says the Midrash, Im Ha'am Chatu, Midrash is our question, that's why I love Midrash. They're like, it's like right out there. Im Ha'am Chatu, if the people sin, Rashei Ha'am Chatu. What did the people do?
What did the leaders do?
Thank you. Amar Rab Yehuda Amar Rab. This is from the Gemara. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, so God to Moshe, Chalek Lehem Batei Dinim. Make courts. Kach Elecha Rashei Ha'am. By the way, aren't there already courts? So why do you have to make more courts?
Special investigators.
Special courts, right. Special prosecutor. Correct. Okay. Vehoka otam. And hang them up, says Gemara. Eta mechuyavim. Again, this is exactly what Rashi is based on. My tama. Okay, what's the reason Moshe had to say this? Okay. Kadesh Yashuv Charon Af Yisrael. They meaning that Moshe, God said to Moshe, this is a special, you can't, what he was telling him is, normally the wheels of justice are intentionally slow. Right? The wheels of justice grind to a halt. You want to give people the benefit of the doubt. You have to judge people. You have to make sure that the witnesses are done properly, etc., etc. There's no time now. We're in the middle of the wrath of God. So you have to sort of move things along and use special prosecutors and do things in a very quick way. So that's what it says. Kach et Rashei Ha'am vehoka otam. So that's the Gemara. The Gemara says that's exactly where Rashi is coming from. And the Ibn Ezra, like you're right, it's very surprising that the Ibn Ezra says that the Gemara is pshat. Second Midrash. Rabbi Yudan Omar. This is Midrash Tanchuma Balak. Et Rashei Ha'am tala. No. They hung Rashei Ha'am. Al Shalom Michu B'Bnei Ha'am Adam HaMesuyamim Kashamesh. Because they did not michu, they did not protest the people who are misuyamim, who were great and popular and powerful like the sun. The Hoka'otam Neged HaShemesh, the leaders, the Rashei Ha'am, were watching their cohorts, their friends in leadership doing these terrible things, and they didn't say anything. They saw other great people doing things and they didn't say anything. And therefore, they are culpable and they should be strung up Neged HaShemesh. Hoka Otam Neged HaShemesh. Why Neged HaShemesh? It's not in the sun, but Hoka Otam Neged HaShemesh. Neged the people who were acting, who were bright like the sun, acting in this way, and the leadership didn't say anything. That's why they're Chayav Mita. What's wow?
I mean, that whole thing about being standing on the sidelines and how culpable you are. Yeah, they say before you come.
What? Fully culpable. Right.
If you're a leader.
What's that?
If you're a leader.
Rabbi Nechemya Amar, Rabbi Chenna says, Lo Tala Ella, Lo Tala. And Rabbi Chenna says, no, I don't accept that. That's too much. I mean, you could see, by the way, this argument in Chazal, it's a very fascinating argument. Is it that extreme that God would hold leadership that responsible? Is that too much? Is that beyond the pale?
Well, Rashi thinks
so. Sure, there's a tissue here. Okay. Right on the table. I'm just going to look. Is that too much to expect? Like, you know what I'm saying? And you could see people saying it both ways. You could see Chazal, you have Rabbi Yudin saying, no, when you take the mantle of leadership, at some point, you have to make a macha'ah. If something is so bad and you don't stop it, you are responsible. And others saying, and then Rabbi Nechem is saying, no, that's too much. They don't hold them that level of responsibility, except, okay, he says Sanhedrin Yot, okay, V'yudanim kol mi shehalach l'po'or. And they'll judge anyone who went to Baal Po'or. So the Gemara says, so the Midrash says, Amar lo umi modio. So Moshe says, how am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to know who did Po'or, who didn't Po'or? Amar lo hakadosh baruch hu ani mefarsimam. Says God, I'll let you know. I'll tell you how. How? Kol mi sheta'a. Any person who sinned, ha'anan niklaf, the anan, the cloud of glory, separated, the Hashem is the rachat Allah betoch hakahal.
It's like a spotlight.
Oh, shang, that guy.
Spotlight on.
Right? The yu hakol yodim mita'a v'yidlu oto. And everyone would be like, it's exactly like a spotlight. Shoo, right on the guy. Yankel. Come with us. You know what I'm saying? You gotta come with us. So now you'll understand. Look at Rashi. The next Rashi, Neged HaShemesh. Look at Rashi, Neged HaShemesh on Pasuk Dalet. Neged Hashemesh la'ayin kol. The pshat of Neged Hashemesh, Hokatam Neged Hashemesh is in the sun,
in the
broad daylight. Everyone will know what you did. I mean, the pshat is Rabbi Yudin. Rabbi Pshat is, we have to make an example. God, this is the wrath of God. If we don't stop it now, if we don't do something radical, if you don't do something extreme to show that this behavior is unacceptable behavior, and normally we don't hold the leadership responsible, but today we have to. And the reason we have to is because this is something that's so egregious and so out of line that we have to make a show in order to demonstrate, no, this can't happen. Neged Hashemesh. Neged Hashemesh means in broad daylight, everyone sees it. And that's how we stop the wrath of God. It's one thing for the people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to say, wants us to make an example and say, this is not acceptable to us. That's pshat. That's what Rashi is. Le'en kol, according to, and before everyone. Next Rashi. Midrash Agada. Midrash Agada. Hashemesh modia et hachoteim. The sun will tell us who the sinners are. Why? Ha'anan nikpa mikenegdo. The cloud dissipates, and the sun shines on that individual person. Exactly, it's a spotlight. Tell you who the sinner is. Like, you know, all the sinners, shh. You, and you, come with us.
Aren't the sun and the moon also considered like witnesses?
Neged Hashemesh, Hazinu Hashemayim. Shemayim Ba'aretz, usually we see the sun and the sun and the moon. I'm not Tanakhi enough to remember. I don't know.
I was thinking that Neged Hashemesh,
the Shemesh,
like worshiping nature, we were saying, worshiping the sun was the most popular, Avodah Zarah.
Right,
Shemayim.
Neged Hashemesh,
to counter, show who is. It's Hashem, it's not the Shemesh.
Fascinating.
Running the show.
Fascinating. Okay, so did Moshe fulfill or did Moshe not fulfill? It all depends on your perspective. It's a machloket. Right? Did he ignore? And then if Moshe did not fulfill.
It doesn't look like a machloket. It doesn't look like anyone thinks that he didn't fulfill.
Yeah, machloket between two.
Okay.
Oh,
Rabbi
Yudin?
Just that one person said it.
What? Did Moshe then do what God said or not? According to Rabbi Yudin, who says that God won? According to Rabbi Yudin, he said he think he did it.
But usually when Moshe doesn't do what he was meant to, then there's some reaction of God afterwards.
Correct.
And we don't see that here, do we?
Hold on. The reason why I asked this question is, let's read on. Okay. Vayomer Moshe Pasuk Hey, Hirgu Ish Anashav Tzidim Ba'Peor. Pasuk Vav. V'hine Echad Mibnei Yisrael Ba. One of the Jewish people, the children, came. Vayakrev El Echav Et Hamidyanit Le'enei Moshe U'Le'enei Kol Adat Bnei Yisrael. He brought the Midyanit close to, meaning, until now, everybody was, you know, the Midianite camp was like 10 minute walk away. They would walk to Beit Hilkiah and do their business and come back. Everybody, you know what I'm saying? Everybody, not Beit Hilkiah, whatever. No. You know what I'm saying?
Bad example.
What?
The Midianim and the fort was the Moavim.
Excellent point. Parsha didn't talk about it. You could do that for homework. Why? What happened to the Moavim, Midianim? Some say, I think I saw somewhere, maybe the Nitziv. The Midianim didn't see it as an immediate threat. The Moavim didn't see themselves as an immediate threat because they knew the Jewish people went around them. And the Midianim saw it as an immediate threat. Like, all of a sudden, what is the princess of Midian doing here? Like, why is she relevant? Anyway, okay? Le'enei Moshe. So this guy brought the woman into the Jewish camp. In front of Moshe, Le'enei Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael.
And he's a leader.
Right. We know who he is later on. We find out later that he is. Shem Yishtachar later on at the very beginning of the next Pasha. Right, Zimri ben Salu, Nesi Beit Av leShimoni. He's one of the Nesi Beit Av, a very significant person in the Shevet of Shimon, very high up. And he brings a woman into the camp, but not into the camp. It's not like where's the busha? He does it in front of Moshe. How much does he do it in front of Moshe? One second. What's Moshe's reaction? V'hema bochim petach ol moed. They're crying.
What's happened to our children?
Like, what?
The Hema.
The Hema Bochim Petach Bo'ham. They are. Who's Hema? Who is Hema? What's the obvious question is, why are they crying? Why are they crying?
Well, were the leaders just hung?
What?
Were the leaders just hung?
Well, if they were, they wouldn't. No, there's more people. There's obviously more leaders. Whenever you hang, that's a trick of leaders. It's like when you take out an Al-Qaeda guy, there's always another.
No, I'm saying they're hung, the leaders that were hung.
Oh, those are the ones that bowed down to Baal. Oh, you mean, so now you're a lack. You say now we have a lack of leadership? We have a lack of leadership?
No, that's something you're saying.
There's a vacuum?
No, I'm saying they're seeing the leaders hanging and right. They're crying.
Oh, they're crying because the leader's being hung? No. What are they crying about? What are they crying about?
I'm thinking
the lack of busha. They're crying about this unbelievable, they don't know what, like, everyone seems to be paralyzed. And the obvious question is why? What happened? Do something. Stop this guy. Somebody. And nobody seems to be doing anything.
Well, Pinterest
if this didn't stop him, then what is? Because they see people die in front of their eyes for sinning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he comes and he sins in front of everyone. Is that what they say?
We don't have a record of who's being killed, who's killed and who's not killed. It's very hard to know. Now, we do know... What?
Someone that sins that, like, he's Mita, no?
Correct. Well, what's the halakha? A bo'el aramit, that's the question. Anybody know what the halakha is? Well, why is he chayav mita? What did he do? Anybody know? What did he do, right? What did he do wrong other than unbelievable, ridiculous chutzpah in front of everyone? He didn't bow down to an idol. He just took this woman. Okay? Vihine ish. Look at Rashi. Actually, first look at the Rashi on Pasuk Hey, just to understand the scope of this thing. Hirgu ish anashav. It says, Rashi, kol echad ve'echad midenei Yisrael haya horeg shnayim. Every judge killed two people. V'dainei Yisrael shmona ribo. How many judges were there? Says Rashi, shmona ribo. 80,000. And each one killed two. How many were killed according to Rashi? 160,000, which is what percentage of the Jewish people? More than 25% of the nation. It's hard to believe the scope, according to Rashi. Ramban has issues with this, with those numbers. But according to Rashi...
Where did he get them from?
The Midrash, obviously. He got them from the Midrash. According to the Chumash, later on, there was a Magefa that Pinchas stopped, a divine Magefa, 24,000 died in the Magefa. Right, the details of this are very fuzzy. When did the Magefa stop? When did it start? Did they kill? A lot of details are not, you're never going to get good answers. You're not going to get a clear picture of what exactly happened.
But it was clear.
Okay? But what we do know is this guy Zimri came along in front of Moshe and all the leadership. Next Rashi on Pasuk Vav. Hine ish. Nitkabtsu shivto shel Shimon etel Zimri. The people of Shimon came to Zimri. Shahayah nasi shalehem. Who was their nasi? V'amru lo anu nidonim b'mita v'ata yoshev. You're our leader. They're killing us for, you know, doing our thing. Where's this free? What about freedom of religion? Freedom of conscience. We want to act the way we want to act. They don't have a right to impose their religious beliefs on us. They're killing us. And what are you doing? Right? You're our leader. So what did he do? He took the midanit, Kazbi Batsur. He took Kazbi. Le'enei Moshe. Amrulo. So he took this woman. Moshe is sitting there. Moshe is the head of the judging machine. Kill that guy. Let's go. We gotta stop this Magefa. The Magefa is gonna kill us all. We gotta make sure this stops. Cosby shows up and says, Moshe, hold on. Zimri says, I'm sorry, hold on. See this woman? In fact, the Midrash says it in a much, much more, graphic manner, explicit manner. That he went to her, he went and propositioned her, and he dragged, she said, I'm not gonna, who are you? I'm the princess. And he says, who am I? Who are you? And then he drags her by her hair, and he drags her up to Moshe, and he says, see this girl? Zu asura umuteret. What do you think? Can I take her? What do you think? Okay? Im tomar asura. And if you tell me asura, bat yitro mi mitira lecha. How is it that you married bat yitro again?
Who's
a Midiani? Right. So, well.
Except they didn't kill them, I presume, because they had relations with the woman. They killed them for the idolatry.
We're getting fuzzy, aren't we? I agree.
There's no chayav mitzah on
the Hema Bochim. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu, what's Moshe's reaction? What should Moshe's reaction have been right then and there? What should Moshe's reaction have been right then and there? What should his reaction have been? He should have killed him right then and there. But for some reason, Moshe is powerless. He's powerless. He's crying. He is unable to act. And the question we have to ask ourselves is why? What happened to Moshe? That's, what? You can't, what you cannot say is that.
You can't say that when he died, the Torah says that right. He was as sane of mind.
Not a sane of mind, not just a sane of mind.
He was
as vigorous, right? Lo nas lecho. What does it say? Lo kahata eno v'no nas lecho. His eye did not dim, and his energy was not diminished. That one of the unique parts of Moshe is, like, don't picture this old sage who's feeble and frail and he can't do it anymore. Do not picture that. That's an inaccurate picture. The Torah said it explicitly. He didn't act. Why didn't he act?
I think maybe it has to do with what that Midrash said before about these people who are like the Shemesh, that any leader has to know who the, in his community, who the people of strength are and who you've got to keep, you know, happy and who you can't antagonize. And maybe Zimri was one of these people, and he hesitated because...
Why? Why did he hesitate? Why? Moshe never hesitates. The Jews, things are hanging in the balance.
Well, maybe made him question himself, like, how did he marry this?
But it's really?
You're getting the other question.
I was like, right, really? The answer to the question is so obvious, it's not even funny. Hello, before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah. It's the chutzpah, it's the woman in front of him, it's the shock of the whole scene. It's the what? But it's not feeble. But it's emotional.
It's not feeble, just the attitude of hopelessness of, if this is happening despite everything else, then what?
Now what? What am I supposed
now
to do?
Now what? What can you do? Because this is what we've been doing until now, and this is what happened.
Moshe saved them so many times.
Like, how many times can I save you?
And he's going, no, they really all work well, and this is in front of you. Like,
let's look at Rashi, the Hemba Bochim. Again, Rashi, because Rashi is based on the Midrashim, based on this Gemara. Says Rashi, like, why didn't Moshe ask? Why didn't Moshe act? Says Rashi, Dit alma mimenu halacha. This is the language of the Midrash. Nit alma mimen. Very specific. Not nit alma. Did not disappear.
Nit alma. It was disappeared from him.
That's right. It was hidden from him. He didn't know what to do because God took away his knowledge of what to do. Normally he always knew what to do. But in this case, it was taken away from him. Nit alma mimenu halacha.
Why?
Why? And then they all started crying. Look at Rashi. It's unbelievable. What's the halacha? Kol haboel aramit kana'im pogim bo. This is one of those unique cases in which the courts can't do anything. It's, what you're doing is not so wrong.
The letter of the law, spirit of the law.
Kana'im pogim bo. Zealots have to rise up and say, this can't happen. Which is what Pinchas did. Kana'im pogim bo. That's the halacha. Moshe didn't know the halacha.
But if the kana'im can't go to the court and say, may I kill him? That's not the definition of
Ga'u kulam bebechiyah. They all started crying. Ve'egel amad Moshe kineged shishim ribo. When the egel happened, Moshe stood up to everybody. Shene'emar vayitchan ad sherdak. He was strong. He was vigorous. And here, the kan rafu yadav, he's like, Moshe, stop this! I can't. Ela kadeshi ela, kadeshi avo pinchas, v'yitol etara uilo. Says Rashi, how could it be? Why did God hide the halacha from him? Why did God take it away? Why did Moshe not know? Why was it hidden from him?
To enable Pinchas.
To enable Pinchas. Okay, what does that mean, to enable Pinchas?
It's every time that the Gemara says, Nitzalmami Menu Halacha, it's always to let someone else get their due credit, to give other people an opportunity to do the right thing.
Just so you know, by the way, the Gemara, Rashi adds in, Kedei Shiavo Pinchas. The Pinchas would come.
But it makes sense. He did it with Benot Salaf Kari, he did it with Pesach Sheni. Also where the Gemara says, Nitzalmami Menu Halacha.
Right. To give credit to somebody else.
To give credit to the people, right, to give other people an opportunity.
Here, would you say there's another reason when you say that you need Almami Menu Halacha? Wouldn't you say there's another reason for the halacha to be hidden from Moshe?
To allow for zealotry.
To allow for zealotry, or? What do you mean, to allow for the right to...
Meaning, if that halakha is clear, then there's no place for zealotry. You do what you need to do.
Well, halakha is clear.
If he knows the halakha, then zealotry isn't part of the equation.
No, he knows the halakha.
He's doing it because that's the halakha.
Correct.
He's not doing it because he's a Kana'i. Right.
Well, one second. If Moshe does it, then he's the Kana'i.
No, but if he knows he's allowed to do it,
he can't, the trick of everybody understand the halakha, kanayim pogibo means you can't ask. You have to do it out of a certain sense of righteous indignation.
Right, and if he knew the halakha, he wouldn't be doing it out of righteous indignation.
He could do it out of righteous indignation.
No, he would do it because he knows that's the halakha, that he's allowed to do it out of righteous indignation.
No, no, no. Pinchas knew it too. Pinchas knew the halakha too. But the zealot can't ask reshut. You don't ask a shayla and say, well, should I do it or shouldn't I do it? It has to come from you. So if Moshe had done it, he would have been the zealot.
Moshe can't be the zealot.
Why?
Because he is the man of halacha. He is the Torah. Moshe is the Torah. He can't.
I was thinking differently. I'll accept that.
He can't be impulsive.
I was thinking something differently. Moshe can't be the zealot.
He can't be impulsive, can he?
Because they need somebody. Somebody else has to step to the plate. That's an American reference. Moshe is going. Moshe's already what?
He's on his way out.
No, this whole concept of zealotry.
Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Absolutely. Wait, so let's
inspire. That's right? Why he cannot be it. Because it's not in his...
It's not in his DNA to be a zealot? What happened when the Egel Azahab came? That's exactly the point.
No,
the example
of
the
Egel... halakhically correct there.
It's also halakhically correct to do it. If you know the halakha...
halakhically correct, he had to be quiet.
God prevented Moshe from being the zealot. If Moshe had known, he would have done it. If Moshe had known what to do, he would have done it. That's what the Gemara says this. The Gemara says, one second, blah, 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 blah. Came along, says... Pinchas said, came along and said to him, according to the Gemara. One second. Okay. Vayar Pinchas. That's the next pasuk. I'm just going to read you the next pasuk. Okay. Look at Rashi. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. Pinchas saw. Doesn't see what he saw. It's what he saw. What did he see? He saw what's going on. Vayakam mitoch hayda vayikach warmach biyado. When he got up and he took this spear. Rashi says, Vayar Pinchas. Ra'a ma'aseh v'nizkar halacha. He saw the act and he remembered the halacha. Amar lo leMoshe. He said to Moshe, "Mikublani mincha haboel arami kanaim povim." Remember, we're learning that day in the yeshiva. Isn't this the halacha? He asked. What did Moshe say? Amar lei karaina diigrita ihu lahave parvanka. He says the person who reads the letter, he has to be the messenger. Moshe says, "You said it.
You do it."
Miyar vayikach romach. Meaning, Moshe, the halacha was hidden from him. So that Pinchas would come and do it himself.
So state explicitly the halacha then.
State explicitly the halacha. The
halacha is haboel aramit kana'im pogimbo. You see a person engaged in boel aramit, this kind of explicit sexual behavior, a kana'i, a zealot, is permitted to take the law into his own hands. In this specific case. Yes.
And throw it.
It's very dangerous. By the way, very dangerous.
Yeah.
Very dangerous. Therefore, what was the blessing that Pinchas was given? The blessing of?
Briti Shalom.
Now you'll understand. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll talk about this next week. We'll do this next week. I'll just allude to it. The Midrash says, anybody know who Pinchas, the Midrash says, who's the reincarnation or the continuation of Pinchas?
Eliyahu.
What does Eliyahu say before he before he climbs up to heaven? Anybody know? What's the famous line? Kano kaneti l'Hashem. We'll do it next week. Okay, that's what we'll do next week. We'll talk about zealotry and the danger. Wait, we're not done yet. Don't get so excited.
Sure.
A couple of midrashim. Well, I'll listen on the internet. A couple more midrashim. Okay. Listen to what Bishvil Pinchas the midrash says about the Rashi quotes for Pinchas. The lamech. One second. V'itol etabrei. So Pinchas will take what's coming to him. The midrash continues. This is part of the midrash. Rashi did not tell you. Ulefisha nit atzel. Translate.
Moshe.
Nit atzel. Sounds like it. Moshe ne'enash. Shene emar, as it says, vayikpor oto bagay mul beit po'or, velo yada ish et kvurato. Kvurato. Moshe's burial place was not known to anyone because he didn't act in this situation.
But that was the punishment?
Lilamdicha,
and the fact that
to teach you
pacing Beit Peor. That's what I thought was.
Maybe you're right. Very good.
Yeah,
very good.
What
good. Mulbeipor.
He was very
Mulbeipor.
That's how he was read.
Right.
That's the part.
Very good. I misunderstood. Very good. Now he was alone. Very good. Very good. Mulbeipor. And he's buried Mulbeipor to teach you. Shetzarich Adam liot az kenamer. Person has to be strong like a namer.
Leopard.
Thank you. Vikal kanesher. Like an eagle. Veratz latzvi. And run like a deer, the giborka ari, and strong like a lion, la asot mitzon kono.
And that's how Shavanar
Mikan at lamed, from this you learn, shakadosh baruch hu medaktek in tzadikim kechut ha-se'ara. That in the end, Moshe's error, according to this midrash, he was held responsible.
But he was the...
He's buried mul beit peor, if you're absolutely correct. Mul beit peor. Because he didn't act properly. He didn't, like, it was... So which one is it though? Is it hidden from him, or he didn't act?
But that, how can you say that it was taken from him and then holding a wolf and not having none on the
ground? Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Now, what happens when a leader fails? How could Pinchas get up and do what he did? How can you get up and do what he did? Isn't there's a halacha of ein morid halacha lifnei rabo? Moshe didn't know the halacha. You're not allowed to get up and say, Moshe, aren't you supposed to do this? In fact, The midrash says.
Pinchas says, didn't we learn this?
One second.
Can I
Right. Well, he remembered the halacha. Shmuel Amar Ma Ra'a. Shmuel says, what did he see? Ra'a she'en chokma ve'en tvuna ve'en etza neged Hashem. Shmuel says, how could Pinchas get up and do something Moshe didn't tell him to do? Ein chokma, there's no wisdom and understanding. Kol makom she'esh chilul Hashem. If there's chilul Hashem, ein chokim kavod l'rav. We don't worry about rabbinic honor in the face of Chilul Hashem. Like, in any other circumstance, Pinchas' act would have been criminal. Remember, one of the explanations of what did Nadab and Abihu do is that they were morei halacha lifnei rabban. And that's why they were punished in a severe way. But here it comes on, Pinchas does the exact same thing and he's rewarded. Why? He's rewarded because this is an emergency. A situation of Chilul Hashem. Before we stop, I have to share with you one last understanding interpretation of Rav Saretskin. Rav Zalman Saretskin. Okay, he was...
Seems to be our new favorite.
Yeah, it's great. Saretskin is unbelievable. Okay. Rav Saretskin says, like he quotes this midrash, and says that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. He says, you're misunderstanding. Why hoka otam? Why hang the leaders? Where's this whole thing coming from? Okay? He says, look, he says, don't read this story as happening over the course of 20 minutes. It's 4 or 5 psukim, but it's a gradual process. People started going to the women, the shops, and they came back, and they said, you'll never believe the deals that we had. And then other people went the next week, and then the week after that. He says, and then the men would go, and then they wouldn't come back so fast, and then they would go, and then, you know, and all of a sudden, like, they would eat and drink there, and they're getting more and more people to come. They first went shopping. And then it happened outside of Machane Yisrael, out of, nobody could see. He says something interesting. Said you could have stopped it right then and there. How could you have stopped it? New law. No one goes shopping in Benot Moab. Right? The mall is off limits. And you know what people would have said? Okay, law is off limits. Mishelo gadru ota az, and when they didn't set that geder, that boundary, nitcharva v'nitpasha, it spread. Ubenot Moab, he izu lavo ala machane. All of a sudden, the whole place is like, there's no Moab, there's women all over. What are these people doing here? And now, you know, and now that came, v'gam az eshar ligdor et apirza. They could have stopped it at that point, but they didn't. When then that didn't happen, that led to the point which that this Nisi Yisrael hevi midyanit zona vayakrev elachav. He brought her into the camp, into Bnei Yisrael. She was also a zona. She was a princess zona.
Queen of the
Al shelo hizdarzu ligdor et hapirza beoda be'ava shaita ktana v'afshar haya ligodra bekalut. They could have stopped it at the beginning.
I don't know.
Easily. One second.
I don't like that.
V'ata lo yadu ma la'asot la. Now they don't know what to do. Nit'al ma mimenu halacha. Ulefi, and that's why the Midrash says, Lefi shnit atzel Moshe. Mikan atalameh, etc. That's the Midrash I just read for you. Hadvarim ha'ele tzvichim liyot shmurim belev kol ro'eh u'manhig Yisrael. These words have to be safeguarded in the heart of every Jewish leader. Shekol pirtzak tana. Any small pirtza, v'afilu yinimtzeit berichuk makom. It's far away, it's distant. Im en yizderzin ligodra. If you don't stop it, when it's small, na'asit idola va'ayuma, it becomes great and threatening. U'mikarevet acharkach b'chutzpah nora'a le'enei ha'manigu ne'ei kol Yisrael. And ends up in great chutzpah. V'rak pinchas nesugal az ligodra. And then the only thing they can stop it is a kanai. It's a pinchas. He says, why was Moshe, the punishment for Moshe, and that's, by the way, explains us what Hoka'otam before. Why were the leadership responsible? Because they didn't act as leaders when they could have stopped it before. And in a sense, Rav Seretzkin holds Moshe greatly responsible, in a sense, according to this Midrash.
You're going to stop them from going to the mall?
Excuse me, one second. Why are you thinking about it in terms of Haredi? Why isn't it?
I'm thinking about it in terms of...
Stop one second. Does anybody remember when our yeshuv was like maybe 3-4 years ago, and there was an idea people wanted to have a subscription to certain secondary newspapers?
And do you remember how upset you were?
I was not upset.
What, that they said upset. No... You.
The Raj sent the letter.
Went out.
What did the letter say? What did the letter say?
It was a long thing.
That said what? It didn't say you can't.
Don't have it
say
your kids.
It didn't say you can. What did it say?
Don't have it
be aware. Be aware
of the danger of these newspapers.
That's
right?
Not to put it together. Putting it together is not telling people to be aware of the dangers. Putting it together is not allowed.
One second.
To.
Are there people who bring the newspapers in? Yes. Is there a subscription?
No.
No. Do you think that contributes to the avira of the community?
The Makolit has subscriptions to
nothing. Do you think that contributes to the sanctity of the community? The fact that the Rav, at that point, before it happened, made a point to say, this is not who we want to be.
No, that is different than what you're saying.
You're not making a kalafa, you're making
it. You're not making the gather.
You're directing.
So my point is, his point, I don't take it the way you take it. His point is,
small problems,
you look it up, it's Rav Zalman Sereskin, somebody in Wikipedia, right, small problems, when the problems are small, a simple letter can address the problem. When the problem is big, the letter's not going to do anything for you.
Okay, so what you should have stood up and said... It's
inappropriate. That's exactly the point. It doesn't matter. You should have said, really? We're going shopping with the Moabim? Why don't we'll create our own mall?
What do they need Pishkan for? Doesn't the Ananei Kavod provide all their physical needs?
Exactly.
And why would they
never
anyway?
That's exactly my point. Zalman Sereskin, find it? What does it say? Zalman Sereskin.
That's right. Here we go.
Okay.
Also known as the Lutzker Rav, 1881, 1966, was a famous Orthodox rabbi who served as the rabbi of Lutsk, Ukraine.
Yeah.
Zalman was born in, can't pronounce it, Lithuania in 1881. Initially, he studied with his father, Rabbi Ben Zion Zretskin, who was the town's rabbi. He then studied in the shivas of Volozhin and Slobodka.
Slobodka was not known as, Slobodka was always known as an inspiring leadership. The great Rabbanim, who are the ones who did great things, Slobodka was known as, you are a great person. There's two Musar thoughts, if you know. There's two schools of Musar. One is, beat you down. You're nothing. The other was Slobodka. You are a great person, and you are expected to live up to the expectations that we have for you.
Streskin was a son-in-law of the Tulsa Rav and Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Eliezer Gordon. When Gordon died in 1910, Streskin was offered the position as rabbi in Rosh Hashiva and Tels. He did not accept the position. It was shortly after appointed as rabbi of...
Moranava,
Belarus, near Vilna. This enabled him to establish a close relationship with Rabbi Grzesinski. Okay. In Voronova, Rabbi Sreskin established a Shiva Katana. After 2 years in Voronova, Rabbi Sreskin moved to...
When did you get skipped to Israel? It was
Mashiach. You're wrong.
I think you're wrong.
Okay,
it doesn't matter if he was or if he wasn't.
He was vice chairman of the Agudat Israel in 1590. death and legacy, external links, read another language.
Nothing, doesn't say anything? Oh, we'll come back.
Managed to flee the war and escape to Mandate Palestine.
Okay, Mandate Palestine. That's all they say? Didn't say where he was, like when he wrote, no, like what he did in Mandate Palestine? I gotta find out. I don't think you're right. I don't know, but when I understood of Rabbi Sorensen, what I've read of him, he was more moderate than
that. It's very harmless.
Not a moderate stance at all.
What, to stop problems before they become big?
No, to put a gut there and say to...
Excuse me, I'm sorry. As parents, we do... I'm surprised you're overacting. Is that not the best advice possible?
Yes,
you see a problem, to try to solve the problem when it's small, as opposed to waiting until it gets big and then saying... What gets out of hand?
The Gaderot.
I don't agree. Wait a second. Do we not establish the Gaderot in order to stop problems before they become big? Do we not set fences and gates and say, beyond this place, in life for our children?
But too many fences and gates create issues as well.
Isn't a valid... What?
What about people being adults?
You said the internet.
Is that what I said about the internet? Do we not establish fences?
We do establish fences.
But nobody told us we
had to. According to this, you should not go at all.
That's what he's saying.
Yes, that's what he's saying.
That's exactly what his message is.
It is. I think they're
right. I think they're right.
No one's disputing the need for Gaderot.
Right.
But
where he says to draw the line is so before anything.
I don't know, what the big deal? If he says to them, don't go shopping with the Benot Moab. Don't go shopping with the Benot Moab, because there's a problem there.
Right. Don't drive, it's not Sunday.
Stop! Where did you get that? I didn't think you would go there.
You can say whatever you want.
Maybe I'm becoming secretly Haredi. I don't think so either.